Plan 12 and continuation visits Selbert and Kathleen this Monday after supper, the 10th of February, 75.
But boy, I was glad. I wanted some long handles under those.
Yeah.
Yes, they were hot. You know, when we went to church, that preacher.
Yeah.
He didn't lack for words. He just preached along just like that. And he said, Jim, turn up, lower that thermostat. That is hot in here. And then right back to his sermon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's just preaching along. He said, now, hold it right there. Just hold it right there. Jim, that compressor has gone off. If you were back there in the hall, turn it back on. And now, blah, blah. That's the reason I said he was very informal. And I think most people like somebody, something like that.
Yeah.
He says, say, everyone want to say something to make you grin and smile.
Fade in here, I talked to Bill just now.
Oh, you did?
And he said it was 17 this morning and 18 yesterday morning. Then.
Now you see, yeah. We don't realize.
So I'm glad they had some cold weather while we were gone.
See, we just don't realize it.
But it's been, well, of course, now yesterday wasn't so cold. However, I wore a jacket as my dress to church.
Yeah, but
they had the air conditioner. They had to have the air conditioner on. And I said, I've always heard, you know, they say about Tennessee, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change. But
yeah.
But it's not that, it's like that in Florida, but it's not a lot more so than it is in Tennessee to me.
I think it is, yeah.
Because Sunday.
If it rains in Tennessee, it'll rain for a few days.
Oh, I got so cold. Friday night in the motel, we had a heater and we didn't know how to turn it on. In fact, it didn't turn on. The air conditioner and the heater were in the same unit in our room, but in Alice and Penny's room, it was different, you know. And we thought we were supposed to turn the same heater on, you know. So we got so cold, got out the blankets, and we were. And I still got cold, and I had to get over in the bed with Everett to get warm.
How'd you get over the airport, guy?
How'd I get the airport?
Uh-huh.
Roscoe, we went shopping.
Well, he
shopped all morning,
he just didn't sleep
and
there.
Then he dropped me at the airport. Is that what you mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, he didn't take you fishing, huh? He'd already been.
He'd already been. He got up at 4:30 that morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Captain
Parker.
And
got in about 9 o'clock.
How much family does he have?
Catherine and her, Catherine's sister. There's three of them. Oh, they are sure. Something's going on there all the time.
I bet. Are they his daughter or sister?
His wife and her sister.
Oh, well, now he was so old, I thought maybe his wife wasn't there anymore. 85.
Well, a lot of people have wondered about Roscoe, you see, but as Mark Twain said about his death, it was considerably exaggerated. And they talk about Roscoe being old and infirm and all like that.
And he's not.
But he kept me going for 2 or 3 hours there at that little shopping center.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
But he had a nice little garden going out there.
And he did all the work. You see, I just pushed the cart. you talk about food. Just about everything that goes on his table is select.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I wish I had. I wrote that up, some of it, as much as I could remember. I settled down the other day and wrote up a good bit of that. And I got into the food. And for breakfast, he had orange juice. There's no seed in it and no pulp in it. And it's sweet. And where he got the oranges and what they are, you see, he would know. I mean, he don't just buy oranges. And then he don't just juice them like I do and leave the seed and the pulp in it.
Yeah, but he has a certain kind.
He has, he gets his bacon. Well, I watched him. I watched him buy the bacon, and he told me what he was doing. We went to three of those shopping centers, and he bought the bacon at the last one. And he got the kind that cost the most, and there was the most pieces in it because it sliced so thin. And he had that bacon that morning, and you could hardly pick it up. It was sliced so thin.
Uh-huh.
It's just pure bacon, you see. Nothing, no.
And that's kind of
just the taste. Just the taste is about all you had.
Mm.
He had eggs. And I thought when I broke that egg on my plate, I said, Lord, help us. That's some egg. That's a lot of egg. And then I got to thinking. I said, Roscoe, this must be a large egg. And Catherine answered over that. She says it's extra large. And I said to him, Roscoe, wouldn't two small ones do you by much good in one large? He says, no. You just have to cook one, and then you just have to eat one.
Well, I guess
it's as much trouble. Wasn't
it? Two small ones probably would have cost him more.
And toast, that toast of his, you see, it puts me to shame. He had that pepper's bread. I can't make toast pepper's bread. I get it hard. And he puts it in the oven, and he doesn't bother it. He got a rough. He handles things rough. I noticed him. The chickens were in that little bin there, and he picked one up and he'd dig in there, you see, and get him another one to look at it.
Yeah.
And he must have looked at half of them just to
That's the way I have to
sure.
do.
He had those avocados. There's just a dozen or so left of them, and he said to me, "This is the end of the season." And he picked them up and felt of them, took them up a whole hand, you know, and felt of them. He didn't hurt them. And he'd go on off and leave them. I said, Roscoe, you just got to have an avocado around your place. So he looked back at me, and he picked up one of them and pitched it over in his cart. As much as say, okay, bud.
Guy did something that ever since I've known Captain Papa, I've wanted to do.
Yeah.
Way back up in Tennessee days, I wanted to shop with him because he makes such a, you know, he really makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched him fix a roast, but I've never shopped with him, and I just wanted Guy to tell me every single little thing that he did. On
I went to the barber
shop. He does all the shopping.
He did.
Yeah.
And now you see, that's
I'd hate 10 cents to the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, send him with Roscoe.
He'd need to go to Roscoe.
That would get him. Yeah, he'd learn something. I learned a little bit, I think. But he knows, and it's a curious thing. When he buys something, like he buys that chicken, he can see that chicken on the table, in the oven, and already on somebody's plate. he can see it, you see.
And he knows what he
wants. He knows how much he's getting and all like that. I asked, we had chicken that night, and Roscoe carved it. And he's a great big fella in this little bit of chicken here. And he got it out there on the plate, and I took a bite of it, and I thought to myself, my, this has really got the flavor. And I said to him, just how'd you go about this? Miss Emma answered it right off.
Yeah.
He says, she says, he cooks it done and he uses plenty of salt. And Catherine chimed in. She says he gets a handful of salt and just scours it inside and out.
Yeah.
Make it get through all the way through.
Yeah.
You talk about a man with a feel for food.
Well, he does the cooking too?
Well, he cooks whenever he needs to.
Well,
he cooks breakfast.
Did he cook it in the oven, or the chicken? Or
yes, baked it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's
they're
baked.
They're good that way.
Yeah.
Better for us too than frying, but I love fried chicken.
Yeah. Well, that's the way he lived. And,
when did you first know him, Guy?
1940.
In 1940.
Yes. He's 50 years old.
Were you at Knoxville in 1940?
That's when I went to Knoxville.
You was?
Yes.
How long, when did you go to Morehead?
47.
47.
After the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known him ever since. And you see, he's also a friend of the families up there.
Yeah.
Faith family.
Oh.
So, and Mamu.
So you've been pretty close all the years.
Yeah, Mamu's one of his, Mamu's one of his choice persons, you know. He thinks she's,
he's known him a long time.
Oh, yeah, they hit it off.
Well, what was Andy Holt doing at the time you were at the University of Tennessee?
Well, he was the president.
He was in Nashville.
He was head of something.
Well, Faye, you answer him.
Excuse me.
He asked me what Andy Holt was doing in Knoxville when I saw him in Knoxville.
I mean, when you were teaching in Knoxville.
Well, he was, I don't know, he came up there.
Was he connected? What was he?
He was the
NEA
man for.
Yeah.
He was president of the NEA for whatever the term is.
Yes, well, anyhow, the next thing, he went to Knoxville from that.
Yeah.
After he got
he didn't teach in the university before he was president.
He didn't know anything to teach.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
He can talk, though, can't he?
He can talk. Get old Andy down there.
Talk.
He can talk.
Haven't been able to. We've tried to, and he's always booked up for that Sunday.
Yeah. It'd be worth waiting for him.
He has a niece that lives a couple of miles from the church there.
Well, he,
oh, has he?
Well, she's our home agent, you know, of the county, his niece. And way back, several years ago.
Oh, is she?
He spoke at the graduation exercise at Woodland, when Woodland was still a high school. And then he also spoke somewhere else. Where was it?
And he gave the same speech. You know what it was? You know, open the door, Richard. No way for Richard to open it yourself. That's what he spoke about.
Yeah.
Both places.
That was
it. Do the same jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. He talks about his speeches, number one, number two, number
three.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I expect that's what and we heard him one time speaking Chamber of Commerce or something.
Up at the old high school.
And he took his eighth grade teacher as an example. And she had also been my eighth grade teacher when we lived in Milam when I was in the eighth, ninth, and tenth grade.
Oh.
And that woman had been teaching for years. And of course, it was real interesting to me because he used Miss Nola as an example.
Anyone want to know if anybody that went to school with Miss Nola?
Well, no, but everybody liked it. Of course,
and you held up your hand.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was the only one.
And you were the only one there that went to school.
He didn't expect anybody to be there. I don't know whether he even saw it. I don't think he did. But Miss Nola died in Obion County Hospital. Did you know that?
No.
I saw it in the paper. I don't know why. I don't know.
We go to Milo occasionally. He has a sister that goes to the Methodist Church over there.
Oh, has he?
She knows. I don't know.
Yeah.
He has two, but one of them is sort of.
The woman was playing the organ at the Methodist Church in Milo. Was playing it there when she lived there. She must be 100 years old.
No. Not quite.
That's right. I saw Andy Christmas, and I told him that he ought to have somebody trailing him and taking down some of these things. You see, he's a kind of a legend.
Yeah.
And you ought to have something to.
So you saw him Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you You ought to have some records of him, what he says, his speeches, you see, and you could take his voice down some of the cases, and you could let people talk about him at all these places he goes. Somebody could just, you could just assign somebody to him, go around with him for a month or two. And that'd be better.
Well, what's he doing now?
Same thing.
Just making speeches.
Well, you know,
just the thought of Andy too.
Yeah.
I never will forget the first time I ever heard the man. That was one of those, we made one of those commencement addresses down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that tickle you to death, didn't it?
It sure did. I just never heard. Get up there, stand up there with his hands in his pocket, all nonchalant, and telling one story after another.
Yeah.
And then the next time you heard him, he told the same one.
He told the same one. It must have been at another commencement exercise that we would do.
Guy, I had a house. As we met,
I don't know how he could keep all those things straight.
I don't either. We had a house in Nashville soon after we married, and saw Andy on the street, and Andy said, "Where are you living?" I said, "We just got us a house." He said, "Where is it?" And I told him. He said, I'm going to move in with you the next time. I said, "Well, good." The next morning, Andy was.
He was.
Moved in with
me. He wasn't kidding, huh?
No.
Was that when the guy was going to school in Vanderbilt?
Yeah, that son. And that he say lived with us all summer.
He did. Well, you all knew him real well then, don't you?
Yeah, and he moved in. He had an old cabinet, radio, I guess. And he didn't have it roped in very well, and it fell off in the street and busted. I don't think he cared. He never listened to it.
And he writes his Christmas card to dear landlord.
He does.
Oh, man.
Of course, I never heard your friend can tell you, the author up there, S.E. Stewart, make a commencement address, but I imagine they talk along sort of the same line, do they?
They do. They're entirely different, but it's in a way it is the same line. Both of them just fill the pulpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read in some of his books where he always that in his year of my rebirth, he had gotten as high as $5,000 for making a speech, mm-hmm. but he had to travel quite a distance.
Yeah, both of them. They're both something. But
well, now that's $5,000 is pretty good, because I don't think we played Art Linkletter that much to come to Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good bit of money.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine something saw those same things where that he spoke to got that much money.
Yeah. You know, what's the name? Penny and his wife?
Allie.
Penny and Allie, they would help you, sir. But I was thinking about that talk of his about number one district, as we used to call it. He knows all those people.
Sure.
You see, Faye, he taught up there, and then he got out of the teaching and got into the... how did he say that? He just happened to... This job in the state employment office just happened to come up, didn't it?
Yeah.
You remember
so,
that?
I think he's told me this time, too, about how he got that job. And somebody asked him, did he want the job, and he told him yes. And he said, well, put your application in. And he said, well, in the few days he heard from him, this man told him that he had a job with the employment service.
Yeah. And
then he got to be mad.
And that was in Paris or somewhere like like
they
that.
Were going to send him to Paris, but they sent him to Union City.
They sent him to Union City instead, and Winkler County is in the Union City District.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in Trenton. Wow.
Well,
when they married.
No.
Yeah.
He went to Trenton.
They lived in Trenton.
Drove back and forth to Trenton for a while, but he said anyway, he wound up in the city office
yeah.
for several years.
So you see, he's lucky. You see, he's kept in touch with all those people that he's known all the time.
Well, his relatives over there, and they are the best things that I have ever heard of visiting people that are sick.
Oh,
you know,
really?
His uncles and cousins and they were going to by St. Petersburg to see a woman that was in a nursing that Allie used to teach with. That's in a nursing home over there.
Yeah.
Even down here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They go by every year to see her.
Uh-huh.
And just every week they go over to Dresden to see some of the relatives in the nursing home.
Uh-huh.
But they've all scattered, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
All the people up there. There's not many of them left in Pomeroy.
Well,
I'm
not sure. I don't. They don't go, but Dresden, I think, is where they are, rather than Pomeroy.
Did you all know Alva Gore's wife?
Uh-huh.
She's a Dresden girl.
Yeah. I forget who she was.
Nancy somebody.
Yeah. Well, I would know, I think, if somebody were telling
me.
I remember. Now that would be something just to go around to some of those places where he knows people, wouldn't it? That would be. We'll get into that a little bit and see what we can turn out.
Well, I don't know whether there are very many left or not, except those in the nursing home, you know, that he.
Well,
this Uncle Jack that's been real sick.
Where is he? He was in Union City, wasn't he?
Yeah, in the hospital.
Now he's in the nursing home in Union City.
He had several strokes, and they got to the place where they couldn't do anything for him, any more for him, you know, and so they put him in a nursing home, and his home was Dresden, and they took him over there. And just people like that.
I came down. It's right sad, you know, when you get you reach a point where you talk and you can think and all like that, but you don't have the vigor to where you can actually talk and say the things you want to say. And it's right sad. I was in Dresden one time and I wanted to talk to some of them. Faye's daddy, one of his friends, was Ike Banks in the circuit court in one of the offices there. And he just got a little past it. And he talked a little bit, but he couldn't say that much. He said, you just got here a little late. But what I've noticed down here is, you see, with the advances in medicine, they take treatments, you see, and the first thing you know, they're back on the feet.
Lord,
yeah.
So you can't just cross them off like you used to. Oh, I've seen a number of these people. They just you see them. It looks like that was the end of them. Next time you see them, you see they're back on their feet. They got the voice and vigorous. I bet you. Now, you know, you find such curious things. You find this. I'm just trying to think. I'll tell you this. I've got some of this on tape. Miss Daisy down here, she's one of the, I told you about her. You saw her. And now she's been one of the fine talkers, and she's one of the outstanding people of this community. And she came down from Georgia with her family in around 1920-something, 22 or 23. When I was growing up, I'd work out there in the strawberries. That's where I remember it. And they'd have a whole gang of pickers, you see.
Yeah.
The people that owned the sites wanted to get it picked and get the fruit, get the strawberries in and sell them. Of course, the people that do the picking don't want so many out there. They want it for, they want a day's work. Well, anyhow, they'd get a whole gang out there, old Blue Irvin and a whole lot of them. And they'd be out there, and they'd mostly colored, not all of them, though. And they'd be talking and singing and carrying on, you see, and perfectly unconscious of what was going on in the world. Now that's that old field hand. That's the talk. Now I used to be in this gang with them and pick strawberry, and I could almost hear them, you see, singing and talking, carrying on, big time. I couldn't quite make it. Well, sir, Miss Daisy was an old field hand, and she'd sit right here.
Brought it back to you, huh?
Right here at this table, and tell you what she talked about.
Mm-hmm.
She'd say the same things and laugh the same laugh, you know, and we'd work into that. I never thought I'd see a field hand again.
Well, did you ever pick cotton?
Now that's, yeah. But down here they didn't have cotton.
No.
Mostly, well, it'd be the same thing. Yeah.
Do you have strawberries here?
Strawberries, no.
I didn't see them but one place
on
the
side of the
road. One place.
Yeah.
One place on the side of the road.
So, but now what I'm saying is they preserve that, they somehow preserve a sort of way of life.
Yeah.
They preserve it, and they can relive it and recapture it and tell you about it, tell you what went on. you can hear we can do some of that. It's easier just to do some of it. I could get out, but I could hunt up. I've got a few of those old tapes. I can't keep them straight. I forget where I put them. I got a few of them. You play one, you could hear her report on those things. But now down there, you see, you'd get, once you got into it, you'd get into the same thing.
Did you type into that yours and Pentecost conversation that you remembered? Do you remember enough how to type any of it up the other night?
Well, the type of the talk that we had wasn't that interesting. It wasn't the kind of talk, you see. It wasn't quite circumstantial enough. You can tell how it goes. He just giving me the high points, and that's not very interesting. And that's one reason I thought, well, if he'd come by. But of course, now here's the thing. it's rather hard to combine a visit and a trip.
Yeah.
You see, you get into one frame of mind when you're traveling, and you that carries over the rest of the time. Now, you see, if we were sitting up there in your kitchen or out there shucking corn, roasting it, it'd be an entirely different frame of mind that you'd be in, and you wouldn't make a trip so much as it is. You'd just stop on Sanibel Island, some little experience there. Well, that's when it gets to be interesting. See, when you start reporting on the experiences, and it's you'd run into it. You'd just naturally get into it. I think it depends partly on the what you're doing, where you are, and all. But I would. With all those people that you and he both know, you could get into some fabulous things. see, you don't use tape there much. All the talking you do, you have to talk a great deal before you get ready for, you know, get it to the point where it's worth taping. You got to break it in, you see, and you got to find out what they know and what they're interested in. And then, you see, you might take your tape along and tape a little bit of it. But you don't do much of it. It'd just be a waste, you see, if you did that much of it. I mean, you know, it would never use it. Just file it. it wouldn't be usable. Very, very little of it. Now, on this trip with Roscoe, I went down there with Roscoe. I went to look at what he did and to report on it. I went with that in mind. That's the chief thing I want to do. Then I want to see you and Penny, too. Visit with you a little bit. And, see, we had a nice visit that evening. Even short, it still worked, and I could see that it was right promising. I don't know why all this get all this jelly on the bread on the tablecloth. you can kind of tell what to do, and. I was rather pleased with him. You see, in public office, you've got to be sort of careful about what you say and all.
That's right.
But he was loosening up pretty fast, I thought, getting right easy going, and I think she would.
Oh, she's smart. She. They say that you. She was a math teacher.
Oh.
And they say that if you could make a C under her, you can make an A under anybody else.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
She still tutors kids down.
Yes.
In fact, she's had two of Charles Miles's over there.
Is that right?
She gets them just before examination time.
Yeah.
And she verses them up on it.
Yeah.
He had one. I heard him talking to Penny the other day down at the bank about how much good she did his daughter over there.
Is that right? Well, I'm glad to know that. Well, now, did she teach a good bit?
Oh, yeah, she taught for
until
years.
She married?
Well, she taught long after she married.
Yeah.
Several good many years. I don't know how long. I don't know. Forgotten. They married. His first wife died. He had got boys. I get in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he is head of the community college at Jackson. She taught at South Fulton and she taught at Union City. She stopped long enough to draw full retirement.
Yeah.
And she taught Jim.
Yeah.
Jim was, taught him in the when he was junior and senior. Jim went to Union City for all four of his high school years.
Yeah.
And she taught him, I think, both his junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. Well, Jim graduated there. There was 160 graduated there, and Jim was in the top 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was real good, and she thought a lot of him.
Mm-hmm. So she taught in Union City too?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how she met him. See, his first wife had cancer, and she just lingered, and she was a school teacher too.
Yeah.
She taught the same place Allie did.
Oh.
I don't know what she taught, but those teachers, since she was, his first wife was a teacher, the teachers, and as she developed cancer, they just, all of them were just nice to her. And that's where she met Penny. She tops. They tried to get her to over at Martin for a long time, but she never would go.
Yeah.
I don't know what the salary.
But you know she has the right bright face, hasn't she?
Yeah. She's sharp. She's sharp.
Well, I tell you, that pair staying down at Fort Myers and all down there, as long as they do, they probably know the country.
They do. They know every pig path down there. There's any pig path down there, they know them. God, they can get around here just like you do in Union City. And that's a great big town. What, 200,000 people there? They know that town. Of course, they, I imagine when they first were down there, they got a city map or something. Got around there. He's one of the best posted men you've run into. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on.
You mean from reading the newspapers and the like?
Yeah. He just keeps up.
And when he reads the newspapers, he knows what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, I don't. I just read it sort of hit or miss, and I don't know anything. But I'm not bragging about it. I ought to know, but I don't. I've seen them do like that. Roscoe reads the paper, Selbert, and I've seen him do it. He doesn't spend any time on it, and when he lays it down, he can tell you what's in it. And furthermore, he can tell you what was in it a year ago.
Again.
He knows what's going on in town. And he don't mix with the civic clubs, he just reads the paper.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the paper just bores me to death.
It does.
I got no feeling for the newspaper at all. Isn't that awful?
I read it all the time. Went home. I hadn't seen one since I've been gone, though.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, you know everybody that talks about that in Obion County. He got a pretty good paper in Obion County.
Oh, we got a good little daily.
Yeah.
Yeah. For that size town.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Well, now, do you need to do anything tonight? Look around or get anything?
No.
Well, I figured, I didn't know what your schedule was, see. Let's see now. You left on there Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And,
Went to Cypress Garden Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
And then on, spent the night there, went to church that Sunday morning. And Sunday afternoon we drove on over to Orlando, Disney World.
Yeah.
Spent the night there.
Yeah. So I didn't know.
Well, we didn't know what we was going to do when we left.
Well, how far along you were on the trip.
Yeah,
we've been here, so.
You came back Thursday.
Yeah.
Yes, but you spent one night there, didn't you?
I just spent one night, yeah. I didn't tell
you. Well, you spent two nights. First night and then the second.
Yeah.
Was Roscoe in, did he teach English in the same department with you?
Mm-hmm. He's medievalist.
Hmm.
He's a medievalist.
He was.
Yeah. Old English and Middle English and old medieval monk Latin and all.
Did he have a doctorate?
Did he have a doctorate?
Uh-huh.
Well, he had. He gave the doctorate.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the graduate professors.
He was.
Yeah.
Did you teach in graduate school?
No, I never wanted to.
You didn't.
I never cared for that.
But he did. He taught in graduate school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he started out with that, and it was, you know, headed for it. He started out early at doing that.
He did.
Yeah, he studied with some of the great teachers. At Chapel Hill, and at the University of Chicago, and University of Minnesota.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't Bobby go to school, take a course at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, or what's the name of that? Is that the University of North Carolina?
What? I guess so.
Yeah.
They went up, they stayed over there one summer. He either did some teaching or took some courses.
He had a Ford Foundation fellowship or something there, didn't he?
Yeah, it seemed like he did. I'd forgotten that.
He had taught it in North Carolina.
Roscoe was in California?
No, ain't it?
And then he came to Tennessee. He was in the Army when he was 27. There are a good many things I'd like to hear him talk about.
In the Army in 27?
When he was 27.
Oh. Well,
he was captain of this little infantry outfit.
That was First World War, then.
First World War,
World War I.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, he was born 1890.
1890.
Yeah.
Well, he's been around, hasn't he?
He's been around. Yes, he's been around. And always got something interesting.
Back to Roscoe again.
He's my favorite person.
Roscoe retired right on the dot when he was 65.
You retire? Do they? It's compulsory to retire in Florida at 65
or
not? Teaching school?
No.
Isn't it?
Teach the 70s compulsory.
70. Is it? What is it? Tennessee.
In Tennessee, 65.
Well, that's what I thought.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Compulsory?
Yeah.
When Roscoe retired, it was.
No,
did
I
he
think
retire
that,
from Tennessee? Yeah. He did.
And then he got to, in Obion County, it was 70, and then, and they, but now it's 65, and it was 70, I thought, guess when teachers were scarce, and couldn't, but then when they got a little more, you know, had let up a little bit, of course, it was pretty, well, they could teach on a permit or something, or if they couldn't find anybody, whether you could.
Does WC teach in graduate school? I never heard him say, have you?
He went to Duke, and I guess he did some.
I said WC.
I know it.
Or did he go to Duke since he?
No, he went to Emory University. And he did some student teaching or so, you know, whatever.
But is he teaching in graduate school now? At Boston University?
Did
he? Yeah.
I don't know. I just the school of theology, but I don't know whether it's in the, I guess, in
that'd
the seminary. I don't know whether it's, well, I guess it is. Yeah, it would be graduate school.
That would all be graduate school. Yes, sir.
I read something in one of the church papers not long ago about this dean up there. But
I did too. But didn't Bobby?
Dean of that department, I mean.
Didn't Bobby go to Duke? Did he get one of those after he was, he started teaching in South Carolina? Was it Duke that he went to instead of North Carolina?
No, it was Chapel Hill.
What?
I don't know.
Where is
Duke? It was a short course anyway, but it was just summer.
Duke is at
Durham, North Carolina.
Durham, yes.
Yes,
Durham.
Yeah.
And Chapel Hill is, I don't know. But
that's the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a hard time keeping up with them.
Yeah.
Well, Guy really enjoyed that trip down with you all.
Yes, we did.
I thought you all were. I was surprised you all went on the way. But he was pleased. He had a good time.
Oh, that's good. It was a nice day to go. It wasn't hot, it wasn't cold, and you know, it was nice traveling weather.
How long had you teaching the state of Tennessee guy?
How long? Not very long.
Not 10 years?
No.
Well, if you taught a bunch of 10 years, you could draw a pension.
Retirement
from Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you didn't pay. Yeah, it's good.
Because
James Logan is drawing it. He taught 11 years at Gleason.
And he taught before we started paying retirement, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about
$50
that.
$50 a month.
And he needs it just about like on NASA. What happened to him? Have you heard anything? He was in the hospital.
I haven't kept that.
And his dad.
You won't know what's happening in this world.
Yeah.
Well, we've had the TV, but I don't know.
They haven't said anything about him. I haven't heard anything about him since we left here on it. So I want the news here.
I've been sort of half-hearted about it. I just was listening to one out here. I got so I don't catch much of the news. I like that. 60 minutes. Yeah.
We caught it last night just as it was going off.
Yeah, just as he was saying goodnight. Of course, we didn't have a schedule. I can't remember from one week to the other what's on it. Saved my life.
There
I
were
don't
just two last night. Two things. What the second thing I didn't care for so much, but it's all right. It was whether or not the congressman and the public men in public life whether they should report on their private lives. And if you did, you'd have a change of faces up there.
Well, I guess so.
But the first one was the best one. Let me see if I can think of what the first one was.
Isn't it strange? I can't think of it.
The first one was good.
Ironwork.
Yes, ironworkers. The fellows that put the skyscrapers up.
Yeah.
Well, last night's news and this morning's news.
That was a debate program.
What was that?
Sort of embarrassing when you can't even remember what the program was.
And you know, that was good.
Well, last night and this morning, both on the news, they were talking about the school principals from 13 school principals from Florida going to Las Vegas to a national convention, you know. And they thought that was the waste of the school money. But they said that since they didn't go but once every 3 years, that they didn't think it was the bad. Of course, Las Vegas had a little...
The capital of the United States, or perhaps the world, he said.
A different connotation, and they were taking their wives with them, but he hastened to say that they weren't, the school, the taxpayers weren't paying their expenses. But they still wondered if the taxpayers should send them when schools need the money so badly.
Yeah.
But they went on anyway.
It's kind of hard to to cut down on the brass.
Yeah.
I wonder what they do at a school principal's convention. Nice of them.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that. First time I ever heard of it.
Yeah.
I thought the regular teachers' meetings were the.
Yeah.
Well, there'd be a flock of them there, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
From all over the United States, the principal. And only a third of the principals of Florida, the state of Florida, go.
Well, they were just sending 13 from Florida.
Was it 13?
And not everybody goes.
No.
Just, They pick out some outstanding ones over here.
Yeah.
But golly, you can have state teachers meetings. There's so many people you can't get into. We just got so we never did go to the state meeting. We just went to the West Tennessee meeting. You wasn't even going here, one speaker, and that's all. Just to say you went.
Yeah. That's right. And then go shopping.
A lot of them would go check in.
Oh,
and then go shopping. You wouldn't even listen to the speaker. But I always went to hear the speaker if I said I went. I mean, if I went down there, I heard that. But the last time I went, I didn't understand anything he said because
yeah.
coming over the mic, and I was having so much trouble with this ear trouble.
I couldn't understand these guys on the men or the women, either one, on these public address systems in that place down there at Disney World today. We got there early and got parked, and it was the first place he stopped and let us off, let everybody off for that matter there, the first lane, number 10. Well, I didn't know when we got to number 10 when tonight when we got to get the car. Because I couldn't understand what he said. And he made an kind of stop.
Temporary
stop, and we got off. She thought she understood it was a 10th lane.
I thought he was going to go on past and stop. I jumped off right quick, you know, and she said, this is a temporary stop, do not leave the travel. We'd already left it.
I couldn't understand that
because I knew if it got started, we'd have to walk so far back, you know. And the first 10 lanes were supposed to have gotten off the first stop. And I was waiting for them to tell me, and he didn't tell me.
I couldn't hear. I couldn't understand
what
you
said. So we started up again and stopped. I got off because I was sitting right on the end, and I just hopped off because I knew we were going to have to walk back. And of course,
I thought I could see 10.
Don't get off, and we were already off.
written in
didn't,
the
I didn't matter to me because
pavement down there.
We didn't have to.
When we didn't get off the first time.
Well, they stopped at 5. So.
She said, if you can't find your car, wait till 3 a.m., and your car will be the only one out here, and it won't be hard to find.
Well, I didn't hear that. I mean, I didn't understand that.
Well, how did you find your car, though?
Well, we got off in the right place.
That lane, you know, if you
wrote
down.
You had to write it down.
I
wouldn't trust my memory to remember what lane I parked in.
Yeah.
No,
well, they gave us a car.
They gave us
a
car.
You know, when you drove in, you had to pay 50 cents to get in the parking area. And they gave you a card with the parking lot on it, you know. And a place to write down the number or lane you're in. And of course, lane 10 was in the very first parking lot, close to the nearest one, which was real nice because they say sometimes some of those lots are beyond where the tram goes. And I sure would hate to have to walk that
125 acres.
To look for a bank and a car.
So we got there about. 9 o'clock, didn't we? A little after 9:15, that's it.
Long as nine.
Well, you did have put in the day then, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are pretty.
9 to 4.
You're pretty hard-headed to stay up tonight after all that day.
It was the first pair of shoes I've had in my life like this, and I'm really getting my money's worth out.
That it rained and that concrete was slick.
But then
and I had to walk like I was. I was about to fall down all the time, but I was afraid I was going to slip. She had on those things, and she just flew with them.
Well, sir, I bought a pair of Red Cross and a pair of Forsom shoes with me.
Uh-huh.
And I've worn these everywhere except in church.
How did you like that citrus tower?
Fine. I think it would have been, I don't know, I think it would have been fun to go on up in it, except you know, those elevator rides, I get sort of woozy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've been up on that little tower, and I figured that's about all you'd see anyway. We'd just be orange groves all the way around.
Lord,
and you could see enough out here. I mean, it would just be more of what we saw up there.
We stopped there
this afternoon coming back and picked up a t-shirt, Florida t-shirt for the grandbaba.
I picked this card. I'm going to tell them about the orange trees out there. And I said, if you don't believe, there's a picture of it.
Let's see.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Have you got another card?
No, that's the last. I bought that one up there.
Oh, you did?
Tonight.
There's more
acres in orange trees out here than there is in beans in all the state of Tennessee and Kentucky put together. It's right out there.
I imagine so.
I wouldn't be afraid to bet on that.
Yeah.
That's their industry.
Yeah, and they're putting in more all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't understand how to drink up so much.
We were
juice.
Somewhere. Where was it? Was it yesterday? When we saw that orange juice plant? They unloaded those oranges out of the trailer truck Saturday?
Saturday at, what was the name of that place I was going in?
I don't know.
They
had just cribs. Cribs of oranges instead of corn.
Yeah.
Well, huge thing. They went over there and the thing grated them through the ones that weren't good down here in this pile. And it went over there and that. And
dumping them down on the belt, and the belt was taking them up and grading them, and some were going one bin, some another, you know. It was real interesting. And we drove in there and looked at it, and there were a few, two or three workers. And I asked him if that contraption was grating them, and he said, yeah, just like the dummy, don't you know any better than that? And they didn't offer any explanation or anything, you know.
We had 14 trailer truck loads just sitting there to be unloaded. We didn't get to come to Clarendon. Is that the name of the place where the oranges are?
Claremont.
There was a trailer truck load of them turned over right there. They had the detour around for town.
Hmm. Good night. That'd be a lot of oranges to pick up, wouldn't it?
Sure will be.
Picking them twice.
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while that happens, though, with a trailer load of chickens or a trailer load of hogs is down home.
Yeah, a trailer load of hogs turned over out there between into the Fulton here a while back.
Yeah. They're hard on the hogs.
Imagine
that'd been a job to get them corralled.
Oh,
he killed
several.
Now I see you've got the windows down here. It's been chilly here too.
Yes, it let the sun go down and cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was really.
Or hadn't it been cool
today?
Well, today it was warm today.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Hot. The sun was hot.
Sunday, you can come out. I haven't seen the sun all day.
Well.
No.
Saturday night, Saturday, you know, it was just a nice day out there in the garden. But then Saturday night, I had to turn the heat on in the motel room.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday morning, I didn't
you
know if I wore my jacket with my dress. Well, it was hot out in the sun, you know. Then
lazy,
when we went in that church
lazy.
And had the air conditioner on, well, I was had to put my jacket back on, you know. And then when I got out, I had to come out of it. I was either hot or cold.
This season of the year, it's really delightful. What you have is sort of a combination of winter and spring, or spring and summer. It warms up pretty much it's kind of short sleeve weather. But at night, you get that freshness. It's cool, you see. Just cool enough to make a jacket comfortable.
Yeah, I start to say it's not cool enough to heat. Really.
No, hardly. Well, ordinarily we'd have that.
Is the heater on now?
No, there's no heat.
I didn't think
you Mother had to go. That's why she had to go in her room, so she had to go heat on, and I had.
Well, the day we got here, we could go today.
You didn't need any heat?
No, we sat out there. Shirt sleeves.
Yeah. It's shirt sleeve weather. And then there's a little airstair, and you can sit in the car.
Does it always turn cool at night?
This time of year,
when the sun goes down,
the sun's going to run the kitchen.
Yeah.
Now, we're supposed to have clouds tomorrow.
Well, now, yesterday, it was hot when we went to eat at night, you know, when we went in the cafeteria. And of course, the sun was still shining. But when we came out, the sun had gone down, and I knew it froze from the cafeteria to the motel room. Because I didn't wear my coat. And when I left, I said, I bet I don't need that thing before I get back. But I didn't go back and get it.
You almost always take a jacket or a sweater, no matter where you're going to.
Well, especially at night, I can understand how it would be necessary.
We went to Morrison's cafeteria over there one night when we were there. And by golly, we had to stand in line for
45
minutes before we get anything to eat.
Do you like Morrison's? I've been. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I'd like to go again sometime.
Did you go to Morrison's when you were down there? Or?
Oh, no.
Penny and Alla like Morrison's a lot.
Yeah,
So that night we.
Well, that
we
was a nice little snack we had in their room.
Yeah.
Well, we had. Or was that the day we went to Sun Bear?
That's the night we got there. The guy was with us.
No, I mean, that we went to Mars.
Oh, I don't know.
I think. No, that was the night we went to Edison's because we just had a lunch, you know, light lunch, and then went out. No, that's the night we went to the Red Lobster. Yeah, it was after we got back from Sanibel Island. We went and did a washing. No, we did a washing after we got back from Martian. Went to the Grove and then came home and dressed and went out to Martian.
Well, now, you went out for breakfast?
No.
We ate grapefruit and drank coffee.
No, we ate one meal a day, and I'd say a good one. One good
well,
one. Either
well,
noon, at noon or at night.
Now, that's the way I figure it. If I have to go out more than that, I just get tired going out.
Yeah,
you do. You know, we ate in the room the night you were there. Well, then the next day, we went down to Naples, and we ate in that nice cafeteria and ate a big lunch. Well, then that night, we ate sandwiches again, you know, went by the grocery store and come from the shell factory, and got enough to make sandwiches for that night and lunch the next day. And then went out for dinner that night, see?
Yeah.
And then we had lunch the next day, I believe, and went out for dinner that night.
Yeah. And then you have Morrison's and one or two or others, you see, where you know your way around, and it's pleasant to go. And you don't have to go to the same one all the time.
We ate it.
They never had eaten at the Red Lobster, but they had heard that it was a good seafood place, you know. So we went there, and when you go in, Alice said, "Now this may be too rich for our blood," and I kept thinking, "Well, we'll probably have to pay two prices here," but he wasn't. He was very reasonable, and right. and very good.
Yeah.
And I looked on the, they had a little map there, you know, where they had these places located, and they're all over. Memphis has one,
yeah.
but I never had. I just hadn't seen it, you know.
Yeah.
And then we came through. We saw two or three on the way up here. Different times.
Oh, really?
We had some.
I never even
them.
Heard of one of them.
Well, we just hadn't noticed them.
Red lobster?
Yeah.
No, I didn't either.
Well, you know that.
They had all kinds
things.
Of seafood.
Oh, yeah. Long forgotten place. we ate at some steakhouse. What, Ocala?
Bonanza.
Bonanza Steakhouse.
Yeah. Well, now there's a Bonanza just on this side of town.
Well, there's one in
but
Jackson.
I never ate at it.
There's one in Jackson, Tennessee. I never eaten that either, but one of my friends said she liked it. So we stopped at Bonanza, saw it then, looking for a place to where we stopped. And we got a pretty nice meal.
I don't know. I think traveling makes you hungry. You don't
yeah.
have, you're
Never.
Not working. You're not
no.
that sort of hungry. But your mind's clear, I think. You don't have much on your mind, and you can you think about eating a little bit more. Oh, shoot, when you're busy, you know, you don't know whether you're eating or not.
No.
That's what Captain Parker does, you see. I don't think he ever races through a meal.
What time is it? I bet you guys big time.
Oh, it was 10 o'clock.
Gee, why?
Well, it is 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I've forgotten that clock or something.
Well, we can turn in and start in the morning. It's getting a little chilly in here anyhow.
The drugstore with the 24-hour prescription service. Jack Murray, Forsyth, Georgia, I guess. No? Well, that's whose name's written on the back of his ego. I guess it wasn't none of my business to pick it up. Jimmy Payne.
Too much
Castleberry food. Drug Company.
I don't know who that would be.
You know who Jack Murray is?
I don't just offhand. I might.
Channel 2 over on 1500 and the end of this visit with Selbert and Kathleen on this return trip through here this Monday at bedtime, the 10th of February, 75. Channel 2 over around 1500, the end of the visit with Albert and Kathleen. When they came back through this, on the way back to West Tennessee, Monday, about bedtime, the 10th of February, 75.